the book of Revelation. First part of this today will be review, and then each time we'll refresh our minds and our hearts with what we've looked at the week before, and then we'll continue to grow and learn precept upon precept and little bit upon little bit. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to be reading down through the 8th verse today. Revelation chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we have your precious word before us. And please that you'll just take us down through your word, and you will take each word and each part and each section and just touch our hearts with us. Bring us to the place of salvation if we do not know you, if we've never come by faith and trusted in you as our Lord and Savior. Then, Father, we got to bring that person to the cross and show them at that cross where your Son Jesus died for them, and all they need to do is call upon him to be saved, call upon the Lord Jesus. Please, dear Father, today that there be no one leave here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, for the church, the believers, teach us your way today. Teach us your will. Make us stronger in you today. And give us your knowledge and your peace and your joy, and allow us to possess that wisdom that we may again walk and be a good witness for you each and every day. So please guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There are some steps in this revelation to get it from God the Father down to the servant John, and those steps is God the Father, Jesus the Son, to the angel, to John, and then on to us. And so if you want to make just a little ladder, a little step as it goes down, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the angel, to John, to us, the servants of God. And so we have got that downward spiral that it gets to us, and we should be so joyful and so happy that God has chosen to share this with us. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the only prophetic book. There are other prophecies in other books, but it is the only book that is the book of prophecy that we have in the New Testament. And we understand, and I'm going to read the list very quickly, what we're going to see. We're going to see light and darkness. We're going to see righteousness and unrighteousness. We're going to see good and evil opposing each other. We're going to see God the Father. We're going to see the Lamb, Jesus Christ. We're going to see Satan. We're going to see saved men, lost men, holy angels, unholy angels. We're going to see a time period from time to eternity. In other words, from now till eternity, we're going to be looking at that. We're going to see heaven to earth. We're going to see things of heaven coming to earth. We're going to see those of the earth going to the lake of fire. We're going to be looking at that. And we're going to be looking at a river of blood 200 miles long, 6 foot deep, and 10 miles wide. We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school, and it says bridle deep. Those are big horses if it's 6 foot. And so 6 feet deep and 10 miles wide, and there are going to be millions of white horses. We looked at these verses of Scripture, and at the end of verse 1, or actually the center of verse 1, it says these things must shortly come to pass. And then at the end of verse 3, it says this time is at hand. And we looked back at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, so that we can get God's calendar, God's time kind of into us, and so that we're not, I don't want us to be impatient because to this point he has not come, and not to think in any way that he is not going to come, because he has stayed his return. He has not taken place yet. But when he says must shortly come to pass, we have a couple of verses of Scripture here. One in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So according to God's time clock or his calendar, it has only been 2 days. And so keep that in mind, and how fast time has passed. It was just it was 7 days ago that you and I were together here, and just so quickly that time has passed. And so in God's time, it's only been 2 days. Even to us, it's been 2,000 years. And so don't think that God in any way is slack in doing and performing what he has promised us. Must shortly come to pass, it's only been 2 days. It's only been 2 days. Now, as we look at this third verse, just very quickly, again, we've pretty well covered the third verse last week. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And once again, that time period is there. And so we're looking here at two things, a blessing and a curse. The blessing is those that read the book and keep it. The curse is to those that don't. So it's a very simple principle. So for you and I that want the blessings of God, we read the book and we keep the book. If for those that decide to not believe in the Word of God, not to choose it, it's that they are the cursed. They're the ones that's going to receive a curse. This word blessed or blessed, it means happy. And so happy are those that read this book. And so for us to study this book, we think of it being a terror and a terrible time upon this earth. And it will be to those that choose to go into the tribulation period. For those that reject Jesus Christ, it is going to be a terrible time for them. But for you and I, for the church, for those that know Jesus as their Savior, it is to be a happy time, because the enemies of God will be destroyed. And so we are not to pray that they be destroyed. We are to pray for their souls, that they be saved before this destruction comes. But God is not ignorant, and God does not wink at their rejection. And there is going to be a time when they will be held responsible because they have refused this precious, sweet, wonderful, free gift of salvation. And it's been bought by the ultimate price. His death, his precious blood was shed that you and I can live. And no one can give a greater price than that. And so, and Jesus, the Son of God, has given this gift to us. And so we need to see that. It's important that we not only read it, but the scripture verse there says, for those that read will receive the blessing, those that listen will receive the blessing. And so it's twofold right there, and it even brings out a little broader thing that just it's not just one-on-one, but it's the person that reads it to the assembly. It's the person that does read it one-to-one. It is whoever reads the Word of God, and the blessing is equal to those that hear the Word of God. God. And so we need to be proclaimers. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then in 1 Timothy 4, 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And we spent some time there last week. You know, it's not only that the reading and studying the Word of God be to your good, but also because we study it, then we should be a blessing to others. It should go beyond us. The love of God should pour through us. You want to learn the Word of God. You want to gain knowledge and wisdom of the Word of God. Just begin to give it out. Share the Word of God. It's a pouring through. And the more you give, the more you get. Now, isn't that a wonderful way that God has set that up? The more of the Word of God that we give out, or the more of God's willingness and help, everything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ, the more we give, the more we get. And so if you don't get, it's because you're not given. And so God promises us that. And so please, to give out the Word of God. And here it's speaking specifically about this book and about a study of this book. And so please be patient as we study this. And then as we look at that, again, the time is at hand. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 even speaks of the last days. And so we talked about how all those things, the end times in Hebrews chapter 9, the last days in Hebrews chapter 1, that must come shortly, the time is at hand, all those things is the same time period. And so it's here, it's now, and we need to be ready. And so we're looking at that. Now to the fourth verse. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. We talked about these seven churches, that they are seven literal churches in the continent of Asia. It is seven literal churches. And God can look down and he can see that each one of those seven churches fit the bill for seven church ages. And so not only is there seven literal churches that are exactly the way we're going to study them here when we get to that place in the second and the third chapter, but also it represents a time period from the Pentecost in Acts, second chapter of Acts, all the way to the rapture. That time period, whatever that time period is, called the church age, it's divided, and not equally, but it's divided into seven sections. And today we're in the last and final one, and if you haven't caught on yet, the most wicked one, which is the church of Laodicea. And so the Laodicean church. And so the seventh and the final age is the age we are in right now. And you will see when we get there that it fits the bill perfectly today. And you will also see the time periods as we look at all seven literal churches and also seven church ages. There were many churches in Asia, but God picked these seven to represent the seven church ages and represent this period of time called the church. And so We need to see that, and we have these wonderful words, grace and peace, common need of all the redeemed is to possess the grace and the peace of God. That's we have to walk in this earth, and every day, if you turn on the news, if you were happy and excited the second that you woke up, if you want to go from there to discouraged in 2.5 seconds, you just listen to 2.5 seconds worth of news, and you can get there. And the only thing that is in this world that we have to hold on to, and it's not of this world, it is the peace and the grace of God. And so we need to realize how much God has given us, and that this life is just a vapor. And we're going to be gone one of these days, and it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it will be soon. We're going to hear the trump, and the church is going to be raptured out of here. We're going to talk about that just a little bit today. But this grace and peace, you know, last week I said without the grace of God, we would all burn in hell. Just period. Without the peace of God, our hearts, in our hearts, we would all be most miserable. And so the grace brings us salvation, and the peace brings us a joy every day. And if we look, no matter where we're working, no matter what we do, there can be joy in our hearts, and we can enjoy each and every day. And we need to do it just in remembering one thing, that Jesus saved us. That should give us such a joy that we were worthless. Think of the person that you know, an individual that you know that you would call worthless. Every one of us knows somebody that really is very little value. They have not given to society in any way. They have hoarded everything to themselves. If they could hurt you to gain themselves, they'll do it. We know people like that. There are people in this world just like that. And so we need to see that they are most miserable. That's all they have. That's all they possess is themselves. But that is the condition that you and I are in. We're in the most miserable person that we can find. That is still no example between us and where God is present. We are so far away from God, and yet God sent His Son down to die for us and to save us. Oh, the grace of God. And then He not only just saved us and says, okay, struggle yourself through this life, and I'll see you on the other side. He didn't say that at all. He said, here, I'm going to give you my word, and my word is your full instruction. It's got everything that you need. I'm going to give you a peace and a joy. What more can we ask for? So we have the grace and the peace in the fourth verse there. And then that wonderful title that from Him which is, which was, and which is to come. Which is, which was, and which is to come. And this clearly sets forth the eternal existence of our God. God is an eternal spirit. God is, God has always been, and God will always be. That's our God. Now, if you look and we see the next term there, it's the seven spirits, and that's really where we left off last week, was with the seven spirits. And if you want to this afternoon, and I hope that you take notes, because go back to Isaiah chapter 11 and read verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, because there it divides into seven areas that our Lord possesses, seven spirits. And it's the first is of the Lord, the second is of wisdom, the third is of understanding, the fourth is of counsel, the fifth is of might, the sixth is of knowledge, and the seventh is of fear of the Lord. It's divided, the spirit is divided into seven parts. If you remember, and I believe that, and don't miss, we are in 1 Corinthians, but come the first, not this week, but next week, we are going to start a study on Sunday night of the tabernacle. We're going to look at the tabernacle in preparing for Resurrection Sunday. We're going to take our time. We're going to look at how it stands in a literal fashion, and then what it means to the believer. And some of you have been through it, some of you haven't. It'll be a wonderful review if you have. It'll be a wonderful study if you haven't. I want you to see it, and I'm going to try to divide it into about 5 weeks to go 4 to 5 weeks. And we're going to start the 1st of March, and we're going to go through that study on Sunday night. So don't miss the study on the tabernacle, because it brings us right to the cross of Calvary and brings us to what the cross does. And the most clearest example, of course, is the veil being torn. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And we're gonna talk about that very veil there and how that we can get through that veil and what Jesus did on the cross that allows us to go right into the presence of God our Father. So please don't miss that time to come. But this seven spirits is literally the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at all this rested upon Jesus Christ when He was here. You see, he took upon the body of a man physically. He was perfect, but he took on the physical body, and the Spirit came upon him to empower him while he was here. And so he possessed, and again, I was talking about the tabernacle. There's a lampstand there that is pure gold that has seven branches. And there are seven different divisions here of this Spirit spoken of here in Revelation. And go back to Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. It's actually the second verse. And again, of the Lord, of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And so don't miss that. Now, something else that we have here that I want you to see, and that is that we are talking about the Trinity. A lot of times you miss that when we're looking here. Now, and you look at the in verse 4, the description of God the Father, from Him which is, which was, which is to come. God the Father. The second of the Trinity listed is the Spirit, the seven spirits. Now let's look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ. We have the Trinity right there. And so when we're given the opening of this section, the Trinity is completely involved. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to see that. So the first is from Him which is, which was, which is to come, which is God the Father. The second is the seven spirits, which is the Holy Spirit, and which is, don't miss this, are before His throne. You know, don't miss that part, that precious part. And then next, the third is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness of the first begotten of the dead and of the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Now, once again, we have seen the Trinity. We have now, and again, I am going to give you many verses of Scripture. And so I'm going to ask you this afternoon or this week to go home and to look these up. If you want to get a CD or a tape of the message so that you can write them down later, that's fine too. But we're going to look, I want you to look this afternoon at, as we divide this, who is the faithful witness? And it begins here, this faithful witness is none other than Jesus Christ. And if you would look at John 1:1, and John 1:14, and even include John 1:1 and 1:2 if you'd like to. And there it so clearly says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so that is the first of the witness here. And next we have in this fifth verse, first begotten of the dead. And so go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read verse 1 through 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 30. The 20th verse says it very clearly. He is the first fruits. He is the first one that's come out of the grave. He is the first one. So this is giving us, this fifth verse is a beautiful, beautiful survey of who our Lord and Savior is. And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. And then next, as we look at this, the prince or the ruler of the kings of the earth. And you'll find that King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in 1 Timothy 6:15, Revelation 17:14. Are two verses of Scripture. 1 Timothy 6:15, Revelation 17:14, and there are many others that you can look up concerning Him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's wonderful in 1 Timothy, it says He is the potentate. And so King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Next we find, and it's kind of a combination of things here, I'm going to put it all together, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And so you can go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and then 1 Peter chapter 1, read verse 18 through 23, and it talks about the cleansing power of Jesus Christ and how that cleansing power was found, and that's through His precious blood. And so once again, 1 John 1:7, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. Read those sections of Scripture this afternoon. And if you want to re-listen to the message, why, you can do it on the website if you have that, or you can get the CD, or I can put it on a cassette tape, whatever would work for you to listen to it again if you have missed those, or I can just write them down for you as well. And so, once again, now let's read verse 5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It doesn't get any clearer than that. And so what a testimony, what a witness here of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and then the Son in verse 5. And now we get to the sixth verse. And it says, and hath made us kings, priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Today you have certain churches that have a priest to be their preacher, you know, whatever position of leadership, and they call them priests. There's a couple different denominations that do that. There should be no priests in that position, because all believers, all church members, are the priests today. And so we could say that it's turned around. It shouldn't be the leader being called the priest or father. We should never do that. Instead of that, it should be turned, and the priests are the laity. It's every individual that's born again, every member that's a member of the church becomes a priest. We are of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And it's very important that you remember that when we start the study next week with the tabernacle, because that allows you to enter in to the tabernacle. That allows you to come in, because we are of the position of a priest when we come by faith to Jesus Christ. So don't forget that, and we can come to the throne of God now only through the new and living way purchased by Jesus Christ upon the cross. And you can find a beautiful verse of Scripture there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. You can see that this study, as we go through the book of Revelation, is going to cause you to do some studying from week to week. Because I want you to look these verses up. I want you to read them. I want you to study them. From time to time, we'll be reading those. But today, I want you to go to those verses of Scripture this afternoon and study them. Now, we're going to get to the seventh verse. And the seventh verse today is really a declaration. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, we're looking at the coming of the Lord. That's what that seventh verse is the coming of the Lord. Now, we're going to take some time, because we need to see what that means, the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is to the church, the rapture. The coming of the Lord to this earth is the second coming. And that's two different times, and those time periods are 7 years apart. Now, we're going to look up, and that's the reason I kind of moved through those others quickly, because we have been through those other verses of Scripture in the past few months. And so I moved through those a lot quicker than I wanted to, because I wanted to get specifically to this point. We're going to look up now about 8 or 9 verses of Scripture, or 8 or 9 different areas of Scripture. And in doing so, I want you to listen carefully. Because the first is speaking of the rapture, the second is speaking of, we're going to use the term, the revelation. Now, one is the rapture and one is the revelation. The reason I'm saying and calling it the revelation is because the second time is when Jesus will come down and plant his feet upon this earth. And he will be here then to reign for 1,000 years. That will be the revelation of Jesus Christ. The rapture of the church is a different event 7 years before. Now, we're going to look these verses of Scripture up. The first we're going to be looking up is the rapture. Then we're going to look up his second coming. And then I want you to determine which one that is when we look at this verse of Scripture, verse 7. So as we begin now, and I want everybody to look them up, John chapter 14, verse 3. I'll be turning there, and so you too will have time. John chapter 14, verse 3. What a promise the Lord has given. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. John 14, 3. Now turn with me to Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 3, the 20th verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. From hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for his coming. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, in Sunday school this morning, we discussed something of the rapture and glorified bodies and when the graves are opened and things like that, and we come up out of the grave. We discussed what age will be. And my class, in all their wisdom, said 22. 22. Now, I don't know. They said it's 22. They had no chapter and verse that to them, and maybe because I look so old and they were younger, that maybe 22 looked like a good age to be forever. And so I don't know, but that was there. Now, as we looked here, wonderful, we need from hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on to 1 Thessalonians. This is one that's a little more familiar to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I've always felt the reason that the dead will be raised first is because they had to face the grave. They had to face death, so they would come first. Other preachers says that they have to be raised first because they're 6 foot under. And so they've got to have a little gain before they got to come up first so they can meet us. And so whichever one you prefer is probably fine. Now, one more verse of Scripture concerning the rapture, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. At his coming. See, he's coming. He's coming to get his church. Now, that was just a few verses of Scripture concerning the rapture. Now, let's go to the Revelation, which is his second coming, which is 7 years later. Zechariah, chapter 14. Best way to find that is find Matthew, back to Malachi, go backwards. That's the easiest way to find it. Zechariah, chapter 14. Zechariah, chapter 14. I'll come to it here in a second. Verse 5. Listen carefully to this. Zechariah 14:5. This is the revelation. This is when Jesus will come a second time. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach upon Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. On to the first Colossians here in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Back to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, I'm sorry, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verses 15 through 18. Revelation chapter 19. I'm sorry, verse 11 through 14. 11 through 14, same chapter. Revelation 19, 11 through 14. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And then it goes on, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and shall smite the nations. And so the 19th chapter there, verse 11 through 14. Now, let's go back and let's reread this seventh verse. And you decide, behold, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Is that the rapture of the church or the revelation when Jesus comes a second time? There are several things in that part of the scripture will tell us that it is the second coming. It is not the rapture. Cometh with clouds. Never cometh with clouds is in a scripture verse concerning the rapture. Never coming with clouds. Every eye shall see him. That is not going to be true with the rapture. They also which pierced him. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. That certainly isn't the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is when he comes, he calls, we go, meet him in the air, and we go home with him for 7 years. And during that seven-year period, it'll be a glorious, wonderful time. At the close of that 7 years, then we will come back. Did you notice that the scripture verses concerning his revelation, when he comes back, that is when we return with him, and we will be his army. We will be right behind him, and we will come and then rule and reign with him upon the earth for 1,000 years, because it ushers in the millennium. But upon him coming, that is the day, and we have looked at it again. We're studying the book of Ezekiel in Sunday school class, and we're looking at the dry bones and how the nation of Israel will be born and brought together. We've looked at that as far as the current events, and we have the globe downstairs, and each week I have one of the class members point to that little tiny speck called the nation of Israel. The geographic place and position, it is a tiny little speck up on the globe. And to think that they will anger all the nations of all the world enough that they will come and converge up on this little nation to destroy them once and for all. And when that takes place, we'll be at the end of the revelation called the Battle of Armageddon. And before they can touch one Israelite, one Jew, God will come and he will speak and he will slaughter them all. And that's when we have the river of blood. And Jesus comes and plants his feet down upon this earth, and the mountain divides and water pours out. And once again, the land will flourish. Instead of being desert, it will be the most fertile land in all the world. And his kingdom will be set up there for 1,000 years. What a glorious day that's going to be. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Read that verse of Scripture. Look through those other verses. The rapture, just a few verses that I picked out, was John 14:3, Philippians 3:20, 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18, and 1 Corinthians 15:23. For the revelation, for his second coming, that's the rapture. For his second coming is Zechariah 14:5, Colossians 3:4, Revelation 19:11-14, and Daniel 7:13 says, "One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven." And so each time that it says in the Scripture, "cometh with clouds," always refers to his second coming. And so it does not refer to the rapture of the church. And you can follow through that. If you want to read concerning the condition of man and why all this is coming to pass, read a verse of Scripture in the book of Jude verse 4. Jude verse 4. It tells you how perverted man is and why this is all going to have to come about, because they have missed this promise. And so, just a quick lesson here. We're in the church age. The next event will be the rapture of the church, 7 years of tribulation, then the battle of Armageddon, the second coming of Christ, and then the 1,000-year reign. And so that's enough right now. It's going to take us a while to get through that. But that will that gives you the events of what's taken place. God's very clear that we will not be here during the tribulation. He is going to take us home to be with him. The absence of the Spirit of God will bring all the evil and the wickedness upon this earth. And so, once again, the church age today, the rapture of the church, and everything is in place for that to happen now. Even the events of the tribulation period are already beginning to unfold to prepare for his second coming. And so don't miss. I mean, we're right here. Nothing has to take place for us to leave. It's just his time. It's been 2 days. Been 2 days since he was here last time. How many days will it be before he comes to get us? Will it be at the beginning of this third day? Will he come? Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this precious time together. I just ask, dear Father, that you will help us to go home and to study these verses of Scripture and get our hearts understanding that this time is at hand now. and we can be optimistic and say, yeah, and it's been that way for 2,000 years and probably will be for another 2,000 years. Father, help us not to do that. Help us to see the timing and see an urgency to tell people about you that they do not have to go into this period of time. Please, dear Lord, please, will you just show us that time and prepare us for it. That's going to be an awful awakening the day that the church leaves. Going to be a lot of explaining to do. And Father, when that time comes, some will remember the words of the preachers that continue to preach. They'll remember, but it'll be too late. So please, dear Father, help us to be messengers of your word, be good, the lighthouse for sharing of your gospel, not only to this town and this area, but throughout the whole world. Now touch every heart today, Father. If they don't know you, please, that they come to know you today, because today could be the day. And for those that are saved, that are the church, we be prepared to meet you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.